Well, we just thank you for who you are. And I thank you, Lord, that you have given us all different gifts and talents. And I pray, Father, that we would use the gifts and talents that you bestow upon us for your glory and for your purpose. And Father, that as we are encouraged by your word and strengthened by your word and how your word prepares us for every situation that we face, so, Lord, we desire to know more of you, walk after you, to really be transformed more and more into the likeness of Christ. And so, Lord, we just pray for everyone that's not here this morning, Father. We just pray that you would just move in their lives. Father, for family members that are sick and they're not doing so well, Lord, we just pray for them. And we pray, Father, for family salvation. Father, we just pray that you would be Lord of all. And as your Holy Spirit leads, Father, you know you soften people's hearts and that you open up people's eyes to see the truth. You remove the veil off people's eyes to be able to see you, to know you. So Lord, we just pray for family salvation. And Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in us. I thank you that you're not done with us. In Jesus' name. So as we continue to learn about Romans, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will continue to remove that veil. Sometimes we have a veil over our eyes, over our hearts, and we can't see the truth of the gospel. Sometimes we can read the word of God, and then you don't really see it until it's maybe a month or a week, a year later, and you're like, wow, I've never seen that before. So, but I know the word of God transforms our hearts. And so that we become more like Christ every day. I know in Romans 7:24-25 says, Paul says this, wretched man that I am, who has set me free from the body of death, from this death. But he says, thanks be to God for Jesus Christ our Lord. And so as we read Romans 8, Paul is going to show us and reveal to us it's the power of the Holy Spirit who enables us to live a life that honors our Lord and Savior. So we know that we can't do it on our own strength. Because that's what Paul was saying in 7. He's like, what a wretched man I am. I can't do this. And then the Holy Spirit is given to those who put their faith and trust in Christ alone, who empowers you, who seals you, who quickens you. So we don't do this on our own. We don't do it in our own strength. And you know, the Holy Spirit actually helps you to be satisfied in the Lord. So we need the Holy Spirit who enables us, who satisfies us, who empowers us to live in the newness of Christ, because when we come to know Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become new. We become born again. Spiritually. We're no longer the old person that we once were before Christ. That's something to praise about. Like, thank you, Lord, that I'm not the same person that I was before Christ. But sometimes we like to live in the past. So in Romans 6, there is no mention of the Holy Spirit because Paul is describing the battle. And he describes it further in Romans 7. Romans 7 is only mentioned of the Holy Spirit once. In Romans 8, Paul mentions the Holy Spirit 21 times. So the Holy Spirit, we're starting to see this is like the pinnacle of just really how important the Holy Spirit is to the believer's life. How much we need the Holy Spirit. How much we ought to be listening to the Holy Spirit. As we read and meditate on the Word of God, God's Word illuminates, comes to life. We see things and really draws us closer to Him. So to live a life free from the old habit patterns and the sin that tries to enslave us, we ought to be dependent on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. who Jesus sent to his children, to his followers, right? To empower you to live a life that you could actually, to live a life that honors our Father. And to give that boldness, to give you that strength, to give that confidence. I'm not going to try to overpower that train. I know we pray at times for boldness, for strength. We know that strength can't come from us. We have to ask the Holy Spirit to continue to help us. The Holy Spirit gives us a desire and a willingness to die to the old nature, to put off the old and put on the new. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He enables you and it convicts you of maybe the lifestyle you're living to say, you shouldn't be doing that. And you repent of it and you say, Lord, help me, lead me out of it. You need not have that desire any longer. It's going to be easy to go back to it. Because our old nature likes the old. It's like, which man are you feeding? So when he gives us that desire. So we choose who we will, we choose who we control over our mind. There's a choice. We have a choice who will be controlling our mind, our heart, our desires. We have that choice. And so the will and emotions, that the daily seem, like daily, sometimes we have our will and emotions and desires. Sometimes they seem insignificant, like seem like they're meaningless. We like, just do whatever I feel like. But do we in the morning say, Lord, I bind my mind, my thoughts, my reaction, my attitude, my emotions to yours today. Lord, I desire to be in your will today. Lord, I desire to be led by the Spirit today. Right? To be mindful of the Holy Spirit, being led of him. And what is it to be led of the Holy Spirit? Because you hear people say you need to be led by the Spirit. So what is being led of the Spirit? Well, led of the Spirit draws you to God, draws you to holiness. Yeah? Well, it draws you to be led of the Spirit, it actually draws you to holiness, to grow in righteousness. That's what really being led. If I'm led of the Spirit, I would be more, the fruit of the Spirit would be developed in my life, your life, right? Being led of the Spirit, there should be transformation. You should be seeing the fruit of the Spirit being grown in you, manifested in you, right? That's being led of the Spirit. The Spirit is leading you to become more like Christ. To become, we are righteous, but to continue to grow in holiness, to grow in dying to self, self-desires. To be led of the Spirit is actually like dying to self. Hope that makes sense. Right? So sometimes we hear people say, oh, led of the Spirit. It's like, we're not floating in the air. We're not doing these like sometimes weird things. But it's like, is he transforming you still today to walk after him? To grow in holiness, to become more like Christ. The Holy Spirit reveals things in our lives and enables us to live a life that truly depends on him. He's truly our strength. He's truly our desire, who enables us to live this life. And he helps us to remember and meditate on the Word of God so that as we read the Word of God, we're like, help me to memorize this. Help me to meditate on what the Word of God is saying. To renew my mind, because that's important. If we get bombarded every day through media, TV, like we see things and our mind gets bombarded. Do we allow the Word of God to get into our minds and into our hearts? To transform our minds. right? So we're going to read with Elijah. Was it, do you have 2 Corinthians 3:16? Yes, sir. Being transformed. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It's transforming you. It's not you doing it. It's actually the Holy Spirit transforming you. And as in an unveiled basis, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, he's unveiling our faces, our hearts, more and more. So we actually see him more and more. Being transformed. It's just amazing how God does that. And it's out of obedience and surrenderness to him. The moment one exercises saving faith, God pours out his mercy and grace. God declares the individual righteous. When we come to know the Lord, right? He transforms us. Pours out his mercy and grace. God declares the individual righteous through the blood of Christ. He redeems us. He justifies us. The Holy Spirit regenerates us. Then we're born again, born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit sets up residence in the believer and continually sanctifies them, setting them apart for God's use and purpose. The believer becomes the temple of God. You're the temple of God. The Holy Spirit lives in every single person who's a believer in Christ. He puts up, he seals you. Right? And that's where we can have comfort and joy, knowing that I belong, you belong to the Lord. Because I confessed and repented and I surrendered my life to the Lord, and he's like, I'm going to live in you, Ken. Right? He lives in you. He leads and guides you. He helps you through all your difficulties. He helps you in circumstances. He helps the believer to be an overcomer. He gives us strength, the boldness, a mind, a new mind, a new life, a new heart, new desires, a new family. And I was thinking, you know, as a believer, we are the temple of God, and we have gone through the process of sanctification. And you think about Matthew 21, verse 12, Jesus goes into the temple, right? And he's overturning. He's like, this place is supposed to be a place, the temple is supposed to be a place of holiness, of praying. Sorry, I can't speak. And he's exposing things in our own lives, because he lives in our life, in us. We are his temple. So he exposes things in our lives that need to be dealt with. He shakes us up a little bit. It's him exposing things. He's convicting you of sin. So you become more like Christ. He wants to sanctify you. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He's sanctifying you. He's giving you new desires, new perspectives. And so you think about 1 Corinthians 6:19. It says, do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? When we come to the Lord, we're not our own anymore. We're his. So Ephesians 1:7. My Ephesians 1:7? Oh. Okay. So. You know, Romans 8:1 speaks of a promise to those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. And then at the end of Romans 8, at the end of Romans, it talks about there is no separation. It begins with a promise and ends with a promise. And so you look at Romans 8:1, it says there's no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. And then at the end of it, of Romans 8:35 or 37, Verse 39 says, nor depth, nor height or depth or anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So there's no, if you're in Christ, there's no condemnation against you. Because Jesus has paid the price, he justified you, and made you in right standing with a holy God. So when God looks at you, he sees you perfect. Because he sees you through Christ, who is perfect. He's the one that makes you perfect and righteous and in right standing. Right? Even though at times we do things that are not right, we sin, but Jesus puts us in the right standing with God. He justifies you. So that's why there's no condemnation. We won't face wrath. Because Jesus justifies you. He was a perfect sacrifice. That's like, and Satan likes to come along and tries to undermine the word of God. He does that so well. And so well we don't listen to the word of God. We don't apply the word of God. Satan is trying to make you doubt the word of God. So if there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus because you put your faith and trust in Christ alone, right? And we repent of our sins when we mess up, and at the end, we use like nor height or nor depth or anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. You're secure in him. Do you feel secure in the Lord today? We had John 3:16-19. Did I get that to anybody? No? So John 3:16. I think we always like quoting John 3:16. I don't know it off my heart. Right? So what is John 3? Let's do it. 3:16, without looking at your Bibles. Okay. So what's verse 17? So for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. We always quote John 3:16. Sometimes we forget John 3:17. But what about verse 18? What does verse 18 say? So he who believes in him is not, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So who is condemned? Those who are not believers in Christ. Right? God, the Holy Spirit, convicts us. He doesn't condemn you. So am I being convicted today? Or do I feel condemned today? Because if you're feeling condemned, you know that's from who? Satan. God convicts. He wants you to be right with him. He doesn't want you to continue in sin that is drawing you away and allowing bondages and walls and barriers being built up around you. He wants you to repent and be in right standing with him. Satan wants you to feel condemned all the time. So whose voice are we listening to? Okay? We have to be careful. What voice are we listening to? There is a time when Jesus comes back to judge. Right? He first came to save. He wants nobody to perish. We have to remind ourselves that God is a holy, righteous God. He's holy and righteous. But he also reveals his mercy, his long-suffering, his grace to those who do not meet up to his requirements. We have to remember that he's a holy, righteous God. He's a holy, righteous God. But he's also merciful. He shows mercy, he shows grace, he's long-suffering. He's long-suffering because he doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants people to come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's why he's long-suffering. But he will come back to judge the world. Jesus does come back. Well, that's not the Jesus I believe, some people will say. Right? Because some people, if you're progressive, they don't like this kind of gospel. And progressive Christianity is a very undermines the cross. It undermines who Christ is. And Matthew 25:31, it talks about how Jesus comes back. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9, it talks about how Jesus comes back to judge. Revelation 19:11-16, he comes back. There's different scriptures that says that he comes back to judge. But he doesn't come back to judge who? The church. That's why we could actually believe Romans 8:1. There's no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. So Romans 8:1-4, we're going to read. Therefore, there is no now what? No condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, the law cannot make you righteous. It cannot redeem you. It just revealed how much we fell short and how much we were sinners, that we needed a Savior. It revealed that we needed a Savior. That you couldn't save yourself, that you need a redeemer. So God, by sending his son, his own son, in the likeness, right? In the likeness of a sinful flesh. He was totally perfect, totally righteous, totally holy on the count of sin. There had to be a sacrifice for our sin to redeem us. Without Christ, we'd still be under the law and we'd be condemned still. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So to grow in holiness, to desire to walk in holiness, and to put off the old nature, to desire to hate sin more and more all the time. That's another one. Do we desire sin or do we hate sin? That's the question. It's like, if I am growing and becoming more like Christ, I should be hating sin more and more all the time. That's being led of the Spirit. Because God is a holy, righteous God. He hates sin. He doesn't want sin to have a foothold in our lives. He wants us to put off that old nature, to put off that old self, to die to it. Because eventually, you can quench the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will be revealing to you things, like I said before, you need to put this off. You need to die to that. And we get so numb from that, and we'll just like, I don't hear God's voice anymore. Because we have hardened our hearts. It's like, I don't get convicted when I do that. It's all fine. God understands that I do this because, you know, I'm just a man. You know, I have these desires. We can make excuses. I'm just a woman. I could do this. But if we are desiring to grow and to become more like Christ, He is going to reveal things in our lives that need to be dealt with. And it's by the work of the Holy Spirit that we die to that stuff. And we have a new desire to put on that new nature, to be led of the Spirit, to desire holiness, to walk in righteousness, and to be more like Christ every day and allow the fruit of the Spirit to be exposed in our lives. Then if people see that, they realize, like, man, your relationship with the Lord is amazing because you are exhibiting the life of Christ more and more, the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, self-control. Right? Are those being more exhibited in our lives every day? Sometimes you think, nope. Right? But do you have that desire? Is that desire in your heart? God puts that desire in your heart. It's like, Lord, I know I failed today. Lord, I repent of not having self-control. Lord, forgive me for not having that patience that I need. Forgive me, Lord, for being short and unloving. Forgive me for not loving you as I ought to love you. We read Romans 8, 5-8. It says that the righteousness requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because of the carnal mind, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, the unregenerated have their mind set on what they desire. To have a worldly thinking, your mind is set on what you desire, what you want. What can you get out of this life? Their way of thinking is self-centered, being selfish by nature. This type of mind cannot please God. But when our minds are regenerated by the Holy Spirit, we get a new mind. In that mind, we start to think differently. We're not become less self-centered, right? If your mind is a spiritual mind, we will become less self-centered and we have more concern about others. We'll have a love for the lost, love for our family. We will love the Lord more, be satisfied with what God is giving us, and He gives us more as we grow with Him. The Holy Spirit gives us a selfless mind. He gives us a mind that we will put others before ourselves. We're going to read Romans 12, 2. And then 2 Corinthians 10, 5. With 2 Corinthians 10, 5. So we take captive every thought. Is it, do you know there's a battle in your mind? Right? We have a battle. But how do we win this battle? Prayer? Renewing your mind by the Word of God? Taking captive of thoughts that are contrary to the Word of God? Right? The Holy Spirit enables you. It's like, Lord, help me to meditate on your Word. What's Revelation 2:7? Revelation 2:7. Okay. So the Holy Spirit enables you to hear God's voice. It's important to be in step, right? Be able to hear God's voice. And he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Are we hearing what God is saying to us? When we read the Word of God, is he speaking to you? Is he revealing things to you? Are we applying what he is saying to you? Am I taking hold of it, or I'm just hear it and I just walk away from it? Right? It's amazing how a holy, righteous God gives us the freedom and the choice to decide what we're going to do with his word. He's desiring to transform you. He is sanctifying you. Sometimes it takes a long time, but we need to surrender. So the Holy Spirit purifies us and sanctifies us. First Peter 1:2 says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctification work of the Holy Spirit, that you may obey Jesus Christ. Are we obeying? And to be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullness, in the fullest measure. I looked up, I was like, that was NASB 1977 version. I would mix it up. 1 Corinthians 6:11 NSAB 1977 says, and such some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified. You were justified by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. He sanctifies you, he washes you clean. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit, we are able to put off death and the misdeeds of the body. What's Romans 8:13? It's a different version. I thought I'd switch it up. I'm used to doing New King James. I asked my wife, like, is that one a good one? Right? Anything older than 1995, do not read it. Newer. Sorry, anything newer than, yeah. Sorry. Thank you for correcting me, huh? So what's Romans 8:13? Somebody should be desiring to live after the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit transforms you into more in the image of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the glory of God, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord through his Spirit. So we start to resemble more of Christ as the Spirit develops the characteristics of Christ in us. And also we see the fruit of the Spirit being revealed in our lives. So Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what the Spirit produces in us. The Holy Spirit strengthens us to persevere and to endure to the end. Paul prayed for that God would strengthen the believers and to be empowered by the Holy Spirit in the inner being. I want to, you know, how important it is of the Holy Spirit. He's actively working in your lives as we surrender to him, as we abide in him. Right? Ephesians 3:16 says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your being. You need strength today. Because it's easy to get beat up. And God desires to strengthen you today, to enable you to live for him, to be to the very end. The Holy Spirit empowers you to overcome the world. John 5:4, it says, everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. So are you born of God? Are you overcoming the world? This is what Scripture says, and I think sometimes it's hard to grasp it. Because with veiled faces, veiled hearts, we don't really see the gospel. We don't see what the truth is and how the Word of God sets us free. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Verse 5 says, who is it that overcomes the world? Only who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. We overcome Satan. John tells us that all of us overcome the evil one, and he immediately tells us how. 1 John 4:4 says, you dear children are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you, the Holy Spirit, is greater than he is in the world. And we're able to, with the Holy Spirit, overcome the power of the flesh. We're expected to crucify the flesh with its passion desires. Galatians 5:24 says, those who belong to Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Galatians 5:16 says, so I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. As we ponder how the Holy Spirit is working in your lives, in our, my life, are we surrendering to the Holy Spirit? Right? He's the only one who enables you to live the life you're called to live. And as we recognize how the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, how we cannot be overcome or be overwhelmed with gratitude for the Holy Spirit working in our lives. In Acts 2:38 says, Peter said, repent and be baptized for every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13 to 14 says, and you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions. You're God's possession. Second Corinthians 1, 22 says, God set his seal of ownership on us and put his Spirit in you, in our hearts as a deposit, a guarantee of what is yet to come. What is yet to come? When I read this, I'm like, how important is the Holy Spirit in your life? Are we dependent on the Holy Spirit? Right? And sometimes when we are more dependent on the flesh, there it's like, Lord, I know you. I'm being more dependent on my flesh than you. And Lord, help me. Forgive me for being more dependent on my flesh than you. Because he will enable you to live the life. We're not striving. We're just being obedient and trusting. I don't know, is it hard? As you hear these words, is it hard to swallow what the truth is? You know, we could all say, oh yeah, I can understand, I take them. But sometimes it's hard to believe the truth. Right? We ought to be real. Because we shouldn't be, the Word of God says, you have become overcomers. He enables you to live the life that he's called you to live. But too often we feel so defeated. We shouldn't be feel defeated. That's why it's important as we come into fellowship with other believers, we talk about the Lord and share what he's doing. Encourage one another in the Word of God. Pray for one another. Stand with one another. This is the importance of coming together in fellowship. Even doing Bible studies with other people. Right? Because we can't do this life alone. We can't walk this journey alone. It's important to have brothers and sisters in Christ that you come alongside of and be encouraged. Right? So my hope is as we meditate on the Word of God, just ask the Lord to unveil His Word to you, show you, and to write down the Scriptures that He's showing you. And you meditate on them. And it's like, Lord, thank you for encouraging me today. Thank you that you're sustaining me today for your, by your Holy Spirit. Because He knows exactly what you need today. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to strive. Lord, we don't have to try to be good. But Lord, we thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit, who works in us, who reveals, who corrects us, who leads us, who teaches us, who empowers us to live more and more after the new nature, after the new man. Lord, I pray that you would help us to grab hold of your truth, and Lord, to remove those lies that we perhaps are believing. Lord, I pray that as we know, Lord, that things do get tough, Lord, I pray that we would go to your Word. We would go to you and to trust and depend on you more and more all the time, Lord. I pray, Lord, that as you strengthen us, Lord, that your joy would be overflowing in us, through us and in us. We would have confidence, more and more confidence, Lord, in you, to trust your Word, to depend on you for every circumstances, for everything that we face. We thank you, Lord, that you are at work in our hearts, in us. Thank you, Lord, that you're transforming our minds. And Lord, if there's lies that we believe, I pray, Lord, that those lies would fall away. Lord, we would take hold of your truth, to apply your truth. Lord, I just pray for your protection over everyone here today, Lord, that, Lord, I apply the blood of Christ over their minds. Lord, that you protect your minds, their hearts. Father, the things of this world would not captivate our minds, our hearts. But Lord, that more and more of you would captivate us. We would desire more of your kingdom and to desire to see friends and family. Lord, we would continue to pray for them. And Lord, that we would see family members come to know you, to be saved. Lord, we just pray that you would continue to draw us closer to you. Lord, help us to be surrendered to you and reliant on you more and more all the time.